Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm joined, as per usual, by Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
As well as Erica Ramirez.
Hi.
It's beautiful out.
It is. It's the weather is finally nice here in the big city.
I'm in a good mood. In a great
you
mood.
You are I'm always in a good mood.
I'm usually in a pretty good mood.
I'm in a good mood, though, and I'm not
yeah,
always.
Great.
I'm not saying I'm in a bad mood usually, but this I'm excited about this weather.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to think of. You guys are always in a good mood. You're just like in a great mood.
Yeah.
This time around, maybe.
Sure. How are you doing, Erica?
I'm fine.
Just fine?
I'm a little tired. I don't know why, but
just
I'm fine.
Just fine.
No, I'm good. Good, but tired.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, let's keep that good mood going.
Yeah.
And get
good
to the,
vibes.
The feel good hit of the summer. No, let's start off with Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea.
Yeah. All right.
Pretty girls.
Pretty girls. Or is it pretty great?
Okay,
so let's talk about pretty girls. So
let's
I want to
not talk about pretty
yeah,
girls.
Yeah, so Erica, you are not a fan of pretty girls.
I am not a fan of it. I don't like the artwork. I don't like the song. It's just not like, I don't know. It just, it sounds forced. I don't know. Oh, Iggy has like four lines, which might be enough, but
you want more Iggy.
I don't want more Iggy. It's just very random, and it's not fun for me, but I know that you guys do not agree, because both of you guys are smiling right now, like just waiting to talk about this.
Yeah,
just waiting.
I think I might be the one who likes it the most. I'm really all about this. I just think this is like, so I don't know. I guess I was not expecting anything, which maybe is fueling this, but it just reminds me of that like old style Gwen Stefani sass on her first album.
Yeah.
And you know, the lyrics are really fun. Like any lyrics where you talk about like jaws go on the ground because like people are cartoonishly gawking.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't she like sing about sexual harassment, like, or like street harassment?
No.
Like she doesn't,
I mean,
she sing about street harassment.
She says that every time she walks out the door, all the boys are looking at her, and she's like, she just rolls her eyes because that's all that she can do.
Oh God. Okay.
I mean, this is not a pro catcalling song, I don't think. But I will say that I just like, you know, I was a little bit lukewarm on it the first time I heard it. And then after a couple more times, I was like, this has some really nice elements to it. It just in terms of like a fun spring pop spectacle. I enjoy
Gwen Stefani song.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not Holla Back Girl. It's definitely not. It doesn't have that strong of a hook. I think actually the chorus is my least favorite part of it. I just kind of like the Britney delivery. Like, she sounds more lively than usual. And I like the way that she kind of speeds up and slows down her vocal delivery. I think that's kind of neat. And yeah, I mean, like, I just think that Iggy is basically in the same mode that she was in with Problem, which is like, here, like, I'll let the singer man the ship, and then I'll come in for like an add in a couple extra points at the end with eight bars. So it's definitely an event song, and I feel like Joe, where it could have been a lot worse. It could have been better, I guess, but I think that it's good enough that I enjoy it. I would say, like, if I were to have, like or dislike, if it came down to that, as simple as that, I would firmly be in the like category for Pretty Girls.
I have nothing else to say.
You have nothing else to say?
I mean, Joe, please.
Let me ask you a question, Erica. I was talking to someone who I will not name.
So we know them. Okay.
And they said that this would be an amazing song if instead of Iggy, it was Nicki Minaj on the track. Do you agree with that?
Did Stephen Horowitz say that?
It was not Stephen Horowitz. It's not
That's
a
what
colleague.
I thought too, actually.
It's not a colleague.
No. And it's because I don't like this. I don't like this like forced sound. Like they just let's make this type of sound because people like it's fun and people are used to it. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know.
A lot of people are saying it's too close to Fancy. Do you think that's an accurate critique?
I didn't think so. I know, Jason, I know you said that.
Yeah, I think it sounds a lot like Fancy.
But it does seem like it follows some sort of formula that they both know works, and I think that if Nicki would be on it, I mean, I'm a fan of Nicki, and I think her verse would be 10 times better, but I still don't like the sound of the song, and I don't know.
I feel like I think that it's close enough to Fancy where if you listen to the chorus and you were like, oh, that's Charlie XCX, like, I'd believe you. Like, it's it sounds like the kind of, like, sneering, like, all the pretty girls. Like, it sounds like her delivery.
It's in the same lane, definitely.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say, and this does kind of sound more like an insult compliment, but I like that it's under 3 minutes. Like,
I agree.
If this clocked in at, like, 4.5, I'd be like, this was like, overstates welcome, but it's so fast.
What else could they do?
That by
like
the time
another
if it
was like
one
minute,
listen to it again.
Prog rock.
Oh my god.
If it was one side of an entire vinyl record, I think it would be a lot better, definitely. No, I think, and, you know, also they're going to be given the song its live TV debut at the Billboard Music Awards, so you're contractually obligated to like this song.
I was going to say something mean, but never mind. I'll just keep that further comments
to
myself.
I'm excited to see this song performed at the Billboard Music Awards.
Oh, the video, I think, is going to be incredible.
Like, it's just like, here's the thing. Sometimes,
I'm dying.
Sometimes it's like, it's not brilliant music. I just think it's like entertaining and silly and like, yeah, like Joe, like I'm excited to see this video. I think it's going to be like very goofy and like,
this isn't a good song. Like, it's not a good song. Like, I want to watch the video because it's going to be ridiculous, but not because I love the song or I like the song. And I mean, I want to watch them perform because I want to see how awkward they dance or try to dance.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's going to be hilarious. Oh, come on. Like, let's just... That's really what
You're
it is.
You're not backing down from your anti-Pretty Girls.
I'm not. I just don't like this song, but, you know.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I'll be the hater on this episode.
Has to be the hater. Yeah. Good cop, bad cop.
We need hater music on, like, like, mixed into the podcast where it's like, Erica's like, I don't like this song. It's just like... Hater.
We gotta have. We should have more sound bumpers. Effects on the podcast. Definitely. Yeah, I'll look into that. Lasers too. Anyways, and frog ribbits. So let's listen to a little bit of that. It's Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea, "Pretty Girls." All right, that was Britney and Iggy together at last. Something fans have been clamoring for.
Except
for
me.
You know,
like
before,
a couple days.
Before we move on, I wrote a thing yesterday and it went up today about who we'd want to see Britney Spears work with, like that she hasn't worked with yet. And there was like the obvious ones like Christina Aguilera and like Justin Timberlake would be cool. But like, I really feel like she needs like a Skrillex song. Like, I feel like she needs like a Zed or a Skrillex song.
I think that'd be great.
How do you guys feel about that?
I feel like that's, fully back that up.
Yeah.
I feel like it would sound kind of awesome.
I feel like you just have to be careful. Like, Ariana Grande's collaboration with Zed was like really, really good. So, I mean,
yeah,
it could work.
Break Free. She could do like a Break Free now. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think you're totally right with the Skrillex too, because something that was just like totally unhinged, like Wild for the Night, would like, I could really like bring out the crazy in her that we don't see as much as we'd like to. I mean, we don't want Britney to go full crazy, but, you know, just get a little outside of the box.
In terms of sound.
In terms of sound, yes.
And in terms of...
But I think at the very least, again, before we'll move on, but I think it's nice, at least on Pretty Girls, that she sounds, like, so interested in the music she's making, whereas on Britney Jean, it was a little bit like... Yeah. She just, like, you felt like she was just showing up, like, punching a time card and then moving on.
It's very true.
Damn.
All right. Anyways. Damn you,
Will.i.am. So, yeah. So, let's move on to the next one. We've got the new song, a topical track from Snoop featuring Pharrell and Stevie Wonder.
A topical track.
It's called California Roll, and it is... Not about sushi. It's
such a ridiculous.
Oh,
it is. It's. I love the pun name.
It just reminds me of like the song titles on like Tyler, the creator's album, where he literally is just like he comes up with titles like on his own just to make people laugh, just to make people uncomfortable. And I think that I can see Snoop being like, let's just call it this and make no sense, but they roll with it. No pun intended.
All right, so let's talk about this. I want to hear what you think. I really want to hear what you think.
Oh, I really like this song. I like the Snoop and Pharrell soundscapes. Like, I'm a huge fan of them together.
Beautiful.
Kind of a classic combo.
Yeah, like I don't think you could go wrong. I mean, whatever I've heard from Bush, I really like. And
the band Bush, you mean? You're really...
Yes, exactly.
No,
I've been listening.
Bush is the new Snoop album.
What if I said that?
You're just like, let's talk about glycerine.
I have no idea. But yeah, and then like Stevie Wonder is like a cherry on the top. I feel like you can't go wrong with Pharrell and Snoop and like Stevie on his own. So, I mean, I just really like the way this song sounds and just the way Snoop kind of like rap sings when it's on Pharrell production is also really like very chill.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm a huge fan.
I'm sorry to interject.
Go ahead.
I only have one question. And I feel I you've already kind of answered it, but I'll ask both of you. Would this song be better if it was Pharrell and Stevie Wonder and not Pharrell, Snoop and Stevie Wonder? If Snoop wasn't on the song? I kind of feel like it would be.
Wait, you think it'd be better without Snoop?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it is very much a Stevie Wonder song, more so than I was expecting. Like it, especially with the harmonica, like somehow his harmonica like distinctively sounds like him. And like the organ sounds is very like 70s Stevie.
I think it'd be more
like
an
instrumental.
I don't
think Snoop takes it down.
Snoop.
I don't know.
Like Pharrell's known to... like bring out the best in the rappers that he has on his songs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it would just be some sort of like instrumental if it was just for, I don't know. I'm trying to think if it would like fit like in his album Girl.
I mean,
like,
here's the thing. It's not like I dislike, Snoop. First of all, I like this song.
You hate Snoop.
No. And no, that's not true at all. I just felt so hurt.
I know.
Because
I got so sad.
I got really sad. But I do feel like he just doesn't really mesh that well on this song. And I think it goes back to him like rap singing, you know, like with like something like Beautiful, which is like one of my favorite songs. Like,
yeah,
period.
You really love that song. No.
I love that song.
Yeah.
And it's just so seamless, like the way that Pharrell sings the hook and then Snoop kind of slides in with his totally classic delivery. This one, it seems kind of like, you know, it's like Pharrell and Stevie Wonder's party a little bit. And then Snoop is kind of like, hey, guys, I'm here, too. And is like trying to butt in and do his thing and is like trying to sing. I don't know. It seemed a little bit awkward to me. I like the song, but
I think if we didn't have like what's Snoop's album, RNG, like with like a lot of Star Trek production on it.
Yeah.
I think that maybe I would look at it that way also. But I think knowing how they work together, it like makes sense to me.
Yeah. No, I'm interested. I'm interested.
What do you think, Joe?
What do you think, Joe?
I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. I think it works really. I think it's kind of like a grower track. I don't think it's going to be a Beautiful or something like that.
Yeah.
But like this is, it's definitely like a good, like, and I'm just gonna say I'm not like a pot smoker. I'm not a big pothead. But like this is, like it sounds
you
exactly
say it
like
you're like I don't believe in God. But you know, like it's okay, yeah. Joe.
I'm just gonna say it. Jason and Erica are potheads.
Jason and Erica are stoned out of their minds right now. No, I was just trying to figure out if I should talk about
that.
That's
why Jason's having such a great day.
Who said that?
No, but this is like it's a really good like laid back, like good vibes, like pot yeah. smoking song. And I feel like it like hits that sweet spot perfectly.
What? You're still stuck on the pot
so
smoke.
High right now. It's crazy, man. That's first of all, that's not true. And I feel you. I feel like you weren't at Billboard, but at the time reincarnated by Snoop Lion.
I was not. No, that was not good.
You have to.
I let that just roll by.
But you know what I'm going to say.
Let
right?
it. No, I'm scared.
Ashtrays and Heartbreaks.
Oh yeah, that's dumb song with Miley Cyrus.
That was pretty bad.
I put that in my 10 favorite songs of 2013 list.
Was that the same year you wanted to put Diddy Dirty Money on number one?
No, that was 2011.
So crazy.
I will never forget that.
Ass on the floor forever.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. I really like that song. I see where you're coming from as far as like. Well, I don't know, Joe. You didn't say. Do you think that it sounds like Snoop is just like crashing the party, and it would have been
no. I think like Snoop is the anchor this song needs.
Yeah, Jace.
And I think my
I'm wrong.
I kind of feel like. I mean, I don't know. I guess I see Jason's point, but that did not occur to me when listening to it. And certainly, like, you know, no slur on Stevie, who is a genius and who has a better run of classic albums than pretty much anyone else on the planet. But, like new Stevie Wonder isn't, like, a great thing. Like, his last album, which came out forever ago, is kind of for the fans only, A Time to Love. You know, it's not, like, a astounding listen. Yeah. So I feel like it's good. Like, Snoop and Pharrell are getting him, like, kind of back to his classic vibes in a way we haven't heard. I don't know. But let's listen to it. So I already forgot what it's called because I'm so stoned. It's California Roll, Snoop featuring Pharrell and Stevie Wonder. Yeah. And when I hear you that weird ass, if you can roll, you say no, let me show you around. Yeah. Cowgirl, hold up, roll with a winner, rodeo. All right, let's go to... let me see one of the ones I did. Let's do Taurus, Strange Hellos. So we've got, I don't know a ton about her. I know she comes from the South. I think she was born in Georgia and then, like, was into the Nashville scene for a while. And I know she said Brandi Carlile is one of her big influences. And I gather now she's living in Brooklyn doing the whole, like, Brooklyn singer-songwriter thing. So this is the first
like
song on
shots,
her new album.
No,
I love it.
And it's called Strange Hellos. And it's just... incredible. I think it's just you hear, you know, like Brooklyn singer songwriter and you expect something maybe a little mopey and introspective, but like this, and it starts that way, but then it just like blows up into kind of an explosive rock track. A lot of people are comparing it to PJ Harvey, and I can certainly see that.
Kind of reminds me of Rhythmie, yeah.
But there's something about it. The thing that like really grabbed me is the theatricality in her vocal approach.
Yeah.
Like it, you can almost imagine like Muse, like the singing style is very Muse like a very like over the top, like towards the end it's not like so much rocking out with your like heart being torn apart as much as like putting on this massive performance, and I think that's really cool. You don't usually get that like kind of level of theatricality out of a Brooklyn singer songwriter.
Yeah.
So I was very like impressed with it, and I went from, you know, just kind of like being aware of her and being like, yeah, let's see what she does, to being kind of like all on board.
Wow. Cool,
on
man.
The tourist train.
Tourist train. Yeah, it's funny because her first album came out and it was in 2013, and it came out like the second week of 2013. And I remember being like, oh, this is really good. And then I kind of like went on the back burner and I just totally forgot about it. And not in like a bad way. It's just like there was other stuff going on that year. And I was just like, it didn't make like the best of albums list. I feel like a lot of people felt that way because it was so early in the year, but now I feel like she's really coming into her own. And yeah, this song's been out a little bit, a little while, but I hadn't heard it before you suggested it in like a month. And it's powerful. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Her vocals have just deepened in a way that I really can't wait to hear the rest of this album.
So I made the mistake that I always do. So it's really not a mistake. Where if I don't like it in like 3 seconds, I just turn it off.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of creeped me out and weirded me out after a couple like less than a minute. And I was like, nope, I'm done.
Wow.
So, but now hearing you guys talk about it and how it like transitions, I may or may not go back and listen to it again.
This is like, I don't even know what it's like.
I'm too honest.
You're too honest. I feel like
hashtag honest.
I feel like this is like you meet somebody and you like hate them. And then you're walking away and they're coming like
anyone or anything by first like glance.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like, okay, well, I'm just kidding. No, I don't.
No, I'm saying that, but then I'm saying like you meet someone and you don't like them, and then me and Joe are here like, oh, come on, oh, he's a nice guy, she's right. A nice girl, something like that. So then you're like, ah, oh, maybe I was too hasty.
Right. This is what happened.
But I feel like if we're going with that analogy, what's going to happen is then Erica will meet the person again and be like, no, I was right. I don't like this.
Yeah, that's true. I will give them, and I will give this song.
Torres.
A good chance, because it really didn't have a good chance.
I would say she's like Drake.
Okay, let's go. Let's
all right. let's listen to this Drake-esque artist. It's Torres, Strange Hellos. All right, that was Torres. And next up, let's go to, what should we go to? Let's do the Miguel. I'm very excited about Miguel being back. We've got a new song with him and Wale. The song is Coffee, parentheses, fucking, end parentheses.
Oh, this is getting that R rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the funniest song title.
This is so strong when you said it. Like, you just, it felt like you prepared yourself.
Yeah, you got ready, dude.
No, this is like the best song title of the year.
There's not going to be a funnier song title than this.
Unless Ray Shumard puts out another album. There
like,
might be.
Can you imagine being in the meeting where it was like, what's the lead single? Well, what's the lead single, Miguel? Well, it's going to be Coffee. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that was, a great song on mixtape. And then he's like, but now it's called Coffee, parentheses. Effing. I'll censor myself.
Yeah,
the kids out there.
We can keep one F-bomb on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
It can't be full of expletives.
Their ears are already changed forever. What would you, all right, so I'll let you guys go.
Oh, I love this song. It reminds me of like those seductive, I don't know, those just very like sexy songs that he had on Kaleidoscope Dream. I don't know if I should be explicit like Joe, so I'm not going to say the... I'm trying to choose another song. Like Use Me.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say another one. And then the Do You song also. It's just that type of feel. A little bit like a little stronger than those. So I don't know. I mean, I think it fits. I rather the December 2014 version without Wale. I feel like sometimes these features feel like you kind of need to have them, and I don't like that feeling of like, let's just put, you know, Lotus Flower Bomb or whatever the song was called. They did really good on that song, so I feel like they probably were like, oh, let's try again. But I think this would have been great without Wale, and it's not because of Wale, but I think it just would have been done fine without a featured artist. But it's, I mean, I really like it. It's really strong, and like I think he flourishes with like these type of sensual type of like themes and sounds. So hopefully there's more of that. But yeah, I really like this song.
What do you think about the like using like coffee and macchiato and all these other coffee related things as like, you know, metaphors for sex?
I just, usually I would think they're cheesy, and Miguel just makes it work.
I totally agree.
Just, I don't know if it's like, if that's just
like on paper, if I was right. reading it, I would be like, ugh.
Come on. I know, but like
somehow he totally sells it. Yeah.
His voice and just the way he sings it and like just the overall sound of it just works. So yeah, I think that if it would have been like 2 Chainz on the song, and they would have been like, and then that's when I'd be like, yeah. Stop
Miguel
it.
Featuring French Montana.
But like, you know, I feel like he would use a lot of other ways to say coffee to the point where I'd be like, that's enough. So right. I'm glad, at least that's a good side. At least I'm glad he chose Wale for this one. Yeah, I think he makes it work pretty much.
I agree. Yeah, I have to say, and I was complaining to, I don't know, maybe Jason or something recently. I was like, when are we going to finally get like a new Miguel project?
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad that an album's on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's been too long. I mean, I loved that last album. It was just such a like colossal step forward from his first one.
Yes. Yeah. I really like the first one too, though. I think it's underrated only because a lot of people did not have their eyes on Miguel. But
right. I mean, really, yeah, it sold like nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know why people just weren't paying attention to
it's
Miguel.
Funny. I wrote about Miguel for Kaleidoscope Dream. I did a big feature on him, and it's funny because the first album, all the steps were kind of there.
Yeah,
like he opened for Usher. Like he had All I Want Is You was a big hit.
Yeah.
And yet he couldn't sell any albums. And then with the Kaleidoscope Dream, it seems to have totally flipped, where everyone kind of sees him as an albums artist. It's like, we don't want a bunch of singles, Miguel. We want like a new body of work.
I think it also has a lot to do with his style and also the aesthetic of like the entire project that he offers. You know, like Kaleidoscope Dream all made sense. And he had this like certain persona to go along with it, and his like stage presence is so much stronger as well. So I think, I mean, there's clearly growth, but that's probably what turned heads with Kaleidoscope Dream, I would say.
Yeah, and it'll be great. I mean, he hasn't announced a tour or anything, but it'll be awesome to see him on the road again. He's such a magnetic live performer. And yeah, I haven't really said anything about this song, but I love it. And maybe not agreed, not maybe the Wale version, you know, shout out to Wale, of course. But I think the solo version just really works for what he's doing. It sounds like he's going in this kind of trippier, even more sexual direction. And I mean, you know, let him be him.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's listen to this explicitly titled song. So I'm going to give you a 5-second warning, because I'm going to say it again. If you don't want to hear it, cover your ears. So this is Wale featuring, or excuse me, Miguel featuring Wale, Coffee Fucking. I'll be your coffee in the morning, fucking in the morning. All right, that was the new Miguel, and next up, let's do Jason pick. Let's do Mets.
Yeah,
the song is called Mets. The Swimmer.
I didn't get to hear this song.
I know. I sent it in super late.
Will not like the song, Erica.
You will not like
going ahead.
For sure.
Thank you for letting me know ahead of time that I will not
like
this song.
Did you listen to this one, man?
I did listen to it. I liked it. Yeah, I don't like know a ton about them other than just that they had that album that came out a couple years ago. Yeah. They're Canadian.
They are Canadian. I picked it today because there's a great new piece by your boy Sean Fennessy on Grantland.
Shout out to Fennessy.
Shout out to Sean Fennessy. Yes. Good Erica Ramirez friend. Yes. And it was a great piece about Kurt Cobain and Montage of Heck, but also his point was basically that no loud band making music now is close to being quasi famous. Like, no, there are rock bands who are famous. Like, you think about, like, and he didn't mention this, but I'm talking loud, just like if you think about like Haim, like they're famous, but they're more pop leaning. There's no, like, he name checked a bunch of bands, like, you know, like Cloud Nothings and White Lung and Mets and Japan Droids, and like they have fans, but they're, none of them are close to being like anywhere near what like Nirvana was right. for the culture. And it's not even about, like, and his point was asking the question, can they be? And saying that because the music's really good. And he pointed to Metz and said, you know, this new album, which is their second album, is fantastic, but, you know, it's just, they're a loud rock band, so they're not famous. So I thought it was a great read. Check that out on Grantland. And I love this album, and this song is just ferocious. It's funny because they're going so berserk on the chorus, but then they pull back immediately and have that little guitar riff. Oh, it's just great. And I just love what they're doing. They're so committed to their aesthetic of just unleashing hell at every turn. And I'm all on board with this album.
You're so happy, right?
I'm so happy. Like, you're so got happy. Britney Spears. these are what I came with. Britney Spears and Metz. That's my day. And yeah, check out the rest of this album because it's great, but this is my favorite track.
Yeah, the song is The Swimmer that we're talking about.
Oh yeah, did we not mention that?
I don't know if we did. Yeah, I liked the trick where you kind of do for a while the song sounds like it's being played like through a speaker, or almost like when, like, if you know vinyl, when you put the needle down and if the speakers yes. aren't hooked up, you can still hear the sound coming from the physical vinyl record, but you can't really hear it. So it goes between like full on noise and then kind of that like through a lens noise. I liked it. Yeah. And, you know, to the question, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just a weird place for rock right now. Like, I don't think people, like music listeners, are hungering for new rock music.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons that I could say things about that may or may not be true. I don't know. You know, there's
tackling head on. I like that.
Yeah,
it's been basically going to push the issue. Been a good year for loud rock music.
Yeah, though. I feel like kind of how I felt for the last few years. Like, I think there is great new rock music out there from up and comers and people who've been around for like 10 years. But it's just it's like doesn't capture popular attention at all.
It's funny.
And I don't think it's like. Well, of course, I have to accept myself from this, but I don't think it's like a media thing. I don't think it's like they're not getting the shine. Like, I just
the media is kind of propping some of these bands up.
That's true. If anything, rock still gets a huge focus. And I don't know. I just think, the listeners just aren't as hungry for it as they are for other things. I don't know.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. Whenever Japandroids come back. Oh,
then
they'll
be then we've got the new Nirvana back.
Well, that no, but I man, I love Japandroids.
I loved the first album. I have to say that they get a little emo for me after a certain point, but they're a great, great live act. So
they're the best. But anyway,
so let's listen to this. Metz, The Swimmer. All right, next and last, this is one of my picks. We've got a song from Hiatus Kaioti, which is spelled hiatus and then Kaiyot, if you're going to Google that. The song is called Shaolin Monk Motherfunk. One of the things that I really love about it is just the performance of the band. Really, it sounds like a band like letting loose and being a band. And I think a lot of times you get, with music today, the focus is almost entirely on the lead singer and like her performance, her or his performance, like having the vocal spotlight, and then the band is just there to support it. But like the band is equally as like their performance and kind of the vibrance and the vitality of it is like front and center on this track in addition to the voice. And you just like, that's a weird thing. You don't get to hear it a ton anymore. And this certainly does not sound like Kendrick Lamar, but very much like his last album. Like, you realized with the backing instrumentation, like, music sounds so different when equal emphasis is put on the background music and not just, like, whoever's leading the show. You know, like, Kendrick would have these tracks where he's rapping, but what the band is doing is equally important. And it kind of sounds like Chance the Rapper is doing a similar thing with his upcoming release. So, anyways, it's just a really, like, interesting, a lot of time signature changes. It's weird, but it's not, like, impenetrable. It's good. I don't know. What do you think about it?
I mean, just cosine on cosine. Like, you you said it perfectly. It's just, I mean, they make beautiful music. Like, and the lead singer's vocals, I can't think of her name right now, but I've seen them perform, and it's just as good as you think it would be. Because, like you said, there's, like, a spotlight on both the band and the singer, and they mm-hmm. just perform like both on wax and off like so beautifully together. It's almost like a sixth sense for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I enjoy all their music. I really like the song also in their new project. And I think, like you said, like they both the group as a whole and also the lead singer like stand out. So yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it, Joe, is what
thanks.
I'm saying.
Thanks.
And Jason is just over there.
Do you have thoughts on this one?
I didn't get to this one, guys. I'm
you
sorry.
I pulled an Erica.
You listened to the first 3 seconds. We're like, nope.
No, I'm sorry, guys. But you know what?
It's fine.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to be like our listeners and check it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Right? Or, let's listen to it right now. How about that?
Oh,
yeah. Idea?
What?
Let's do it. All right. So let's listen to a little bit of Hiatus Coyote, Shaolin Monk, Mother Funk. So drop it 2 days. So drop it 2 days. So drop it 2 days. Oh, I'll be swinging it solo. All right, that's all we got for this week on the Must Hear Music podcast. You know what? Someone did tweet in a rec, and I totally forgot what it was. But maybe we'll address that next week.
You got a favorite then.
I know. I have to. Okay. Anyways. But yeah, if you have any stuff, tweet at us or send in reviews or whatever.
Send us anything.
At all of us.
Let's do anything. Yeah, I don't know.
And subscribe to the Must Hear Music podcast on iTunes.
Yeah,
that way you never miss an episode.
That way you never miss.
This beautiful conversation.
All right. But thank you so much for listening. And I hope you are enjoying the beginning of your spring/summer. And we'll catch you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.